Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in.
Hi, queens.
Oh my gosh. Hello.
I'm with Hannah today. How do you say your last name, by the way?
Wante.
Hannah Wante.
Yeah.
Our fellow San Diego content creator we met, like, honestly, years ago. This is such a long time coming. We met, I think, in 2019.
I almost feel like it was maybe even a little bit before
that. I know.
Like, it's been like forever.
OGs in San Diego, I want to say. But if you girlies don't know Hannah, she is so many things: entrepreneur, content creator, podcast host, agency owner, studio owner, so many things. Honestly, it's been so cool to watch you just expand everything you're doing in the past, like, 2 years. I feel like it's really been awesome to see. Hannah's
thank you
a great friend, and yeah, I'm just so excited to have you on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Alyssa is under the weather today, so it is just Hannah and I. And yeah, before we get into all the things that I just mentioned that Hannah does, we always start off our podcast with our influences of the week. So it can be literally anything that's influencing you this week. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. I was like, when you sent me this question, I was like, I don't even know. It's so hard when you're like perpetually online. There are like so many things now that I like aimlessly save and like don't realize. But what I will say is, like, I feel like this has been like the last couple months, to be honest, like not just this week, but I have been like obsessed with stalking people's stylists. I think that people who are like public figures or like very like in the fashion community, a lot of people don't realize that they have stylists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been loving like following their stylists. And then I like see everything that they're sharing and like the brands they're wearing. And then I like go to the brands and try to like find like pieces from what they're posting, because they are like always like 6 months ahead of trends.
Yeah.
So I like to like kind of see what they're doing and then like save and like look for items that they've been posting.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
I love it.
She is a stylish queen. Like, honestly, I love your style. This makes a lot of sense, because I feel like you are so on it with the trends.
And
who are your favorite stylists right now?
I love,
or like, who's someone you recently stalked?
Oh, I'm obsessed with Georgina Dow, I think is her last name. She styles Pia Mance and like this girl named Kelsey and like Elsa or Helsa.
Ooh, okay.
Like, she styles like those girls, and I just like love the way like Pia's style has like transformed the last few years, and like I just feel like she's really on top of the trends and like always has been. I also like, I'm someone that reads like Vogue still, like in Vanity Fair, and like the I get like magazines sent to my house, so I feel like it's like a good complimentary like dual thing to have when it comes to like trend forecasting and stuff.
Oh my gosh, love that. Wait, so then also another question, what's your favorite trend right now?
Oh, I'm wearing those like cape top
cute.
Right now.
Is that from Elsa?
No, this one is from Source Unknown.
Forgot about them.
I know. We used to wear like their blazers
the
and they were gifting all the time.
So cute.
Great brand, honestly.
Yeah, honestly.
And then I love like low-waisted, like really tailored like black trousers. I feel like the Rachel Green style, like super in. And then like ruffled tops are coming, like kind of coming back, like under like blazers and like button downs with ruffles. Lots of ruffles.
Cute.
Yeah.
Is that it's kind of like giving Chloe vibes.
Yes. Like Ralph Lauren Western type inspired stuff.
Yes. Okay, love that. Those are some really good ones. Okay, my influence of the week. Which also, before we started recording, I went to your podcast and I searched to see if you had this person on, because I was like, if you haven't already had this person on, like, she would be so good. But I recently subscribed to Activations, that app. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Activations, like by Mimi Bouchard.
Oh, I love Mimi Bouchard.
Okay.
I don't have the app.
Have you had her on your podcast? Because I feel like she'd be so
I have emailed her team so many times. Okay,
we're putting it out into the universe. Like, it's actually going to happen after this.
Oh, yeah. I've listened to both of her episodes on the Skinny Confidential, and then I've emailed her team a bunch of times. She's responded, being like, you know, she's just fucking busy.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm allowed to cuss on here, right? Like,
yeah.
Totally. Okay, good. She always responds and is super kind, but no, she has not agreed to come on yet. So maybe.
Okay, I really think this will be it. Yes, I think it was then after I listened to her. It was after I listened to her podcast episode on someone's podcast. I think maybe it was The Skinny Confidential, but something she said, I was like, okay, I'm going to try this out. Like, whatever. So I did the 2-week trial, and honestly, it's replaced like my music when I'm driving somewhere. I just think it's, honestly, it's really good. She has activations or like manifestations for literally everything. And honestly, like, she has challenges too, like lucky girl challenges, and you listen to it every day. And I think it's so cool. And I feel productive when I'm listening to it and just way more motivated. Like, she has one for if you get rejected or like if you didn't land an opportunity. Like, she has like a listen to this afterwards. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. I've been loving it, and I think it's $30 a month, so it's not cheap, but I really like it so far. So
I mean, it's all relative, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like sometimes people will be like, oh, well, therapy's expensive or breath work is expensive or whatever, but then they'll spend like $200 out on a dinner and drinks on the weekend. It's so like, true. What's more valuable? You know,
exactly.
It's like, I would rather give up like one dinner on the weekend and pay for like therapy versus like the other way around. I think it's about like prioritizing, like, I don't know, like our brain and health and like well-being over like some of these other trivial things. And I don't think as a society we've been like programmed to like need money in that way.
No, I think we're programmed, like, they want us to be consumers, okay? And just, like, buy all the things, like, stay in the consumerism cycle. And, like, sometimes we are, but, yeah, no, I've been, like, really
trying to. Well, it needs to stay that way a little bit, or we lose our job.
Right, true.
But we can think there's, it is funny to me how some people will be, like, $30, like, for a month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of, like, affirmations, manifestation, and activations that are going to make you feel 10 times better. Like, they probably should be charging more.
You're so right. I feel like it's in, like, me comparing it to other apps that I pay for, but, like, they're not the same thing, so I don't know why I was comparing them. Like, $30 is not. Yeah, you're right.
No, but I think you're right, though. Like, I think everyone would hear that and be like, $30, so expensive. I think it's just about prioritizing the things that matter to us.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a good one. I'm going to download it.
I know. It's honestly a 2-week free trial, which is so cool. This sounds sponsored now, but I remember her saying this in the podcast.
Feel free to reach out.
I know. Mimi, reach out to Hannah. But yeah, it's 2-week free trial. And she's like, we want a long trial so you can actually like get into it. But if you need some extra inspiration, like, I remember I was searching up affirmations on Spotify, couldn't really find any good ones. And then I heard that podcast episode. So I was like, okay, this was aligned. I was meant to hear this, and I signed up. So
love.
If you're an affirmation girly, check it out, because I feel like it's really, really helped me. And we're both mantra girls. So
yeah, affirmations are like a huge part of like my own healing journey. And people like think it's like cheesy and stupid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no,
it works.
There's a reason something's cliche. There's a reason that it comes up a lot, and it's because they actually work. And I don't think people realize like how much power they have and like over their own mind. And I think these things are really help.
Right. You have to like subconsciously believe it. And that's the point. Mm-hmm. So agree. Okay. Love that. Well, let's hear more about you, and I would love to hear kind of your journey with your career and how you started, where you're at, just all the things.
Yeah. Like, where to begin?
I know. I honestly hate when people ask me this, because I'm like, I don't know where to start. But
no, I love the question, because I think it like is, I mean, obviously I do, because I think like starting my own podcast was because of like how much inspiration and motivation comes from listening to like the ups and downs of people's journeys. Because I think we see people online a lot of times and we're like, it looks so linear. Like, it looks like they had it figured out the entire time. And like, that's not the case like at all. So I do think it's a cool question, but I started creating content in college when I was like probably like 20. So like 8-9 years ago. And for me, I always loved fashion. Like I was working at Nordstrom full time. And I just like loved the idea of like sharing outfits. But I thought that in the space, there was like a little bit of like a missing gap between like what people were actually going through, who were sharing their outfits already. Cause back then, like at this time, TikTok didn't exist. Stories had just came out. No reels. And it was like Alexis Rien, Jay Alvarez, like all the Australian models who were all hot, but like no one was sharing anything real. And at that point in my life, I mean, my entire life, I struggled with mental health, but specifically in that time, it was really, really hard for me. And so I was like, I'm going to start talking about my outfits and what I'm wearing. And I'm also going to share how fucking depressed I am. And I'm going to like to be real about it and just like talk about, I was like, there has to be other people who are also experiencing the same things. So I started doing that. I started building a community. And yeah, like it kind of took off from there. I graduated and had hit like the 10K mark and was like, I was supposed to honestly go to law school. That's what I was studying to do. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I also was just seriously very mentally unwell at that point. I couldn't even imagine like going to school at that point. And so I was like, I'm going to start going to therapy because I kind of was like, can't get much worse than this. Might as well try to get better. And I'm going to spend this year off before officially going to law school to see if I can take off a little bit, like try to like pay rent and pay for food through brand partnerships. So I spent all day, like honestly, just I was working for my dad part time. And I like for the year, he was essentially like, okay, I'll give you a year. Like you can, if you think this is legit, you can work for me part time and then like try to like pick up the business. And so I think like that fire under my ass a little bit like kept me like motivated to like pitches, like hundreds and hundreds of brands. I was reaching out to people on LinkedIn. I was reaching out through the DMs, just trying to get all the contacts. And by the end of the year, I was in therapy doing a bit better and was able to like pay rent and food with collaboration. So I stayed, kept doing that. The pandemic hit, which like fortunately for me was something I could use to my advantage. So I like dove even harder into like pitching brands, creating content, started like increasing revenue and realized that I just like had more to say. Like I feel like I'd gone through it simultaneously with my entrepreneur journey. I went through this huge mental health and like healing journey. I went from being like clinically depressed and anxious to not even claiming those things as a part of my identity anymore. And I was like, I can't talk about this on a outfit post. Like does not make sense.
Right.
So I was like, I'm gonna start a podcast. And so I launched the podcast from there. Flash forward, kept doing that. And then about 2.5 years ago, I kind of hit this like wall. Felt like I hit like a certain point income wise, which was great, but I was like, I want to make more money than this. Like, I want to keep growing. I want to keep evolving. TikTok is out now. There are so many creators. I'm competing with so many people. And I'm satisfied, but I feel like I could be doing more and creating like more revenue for myself. And a lot of people like in downtown, like in like different areas, like being like a member at the Reading Club and like going to like different events and things downtown, a lot of people would be like, how did you do it? Like, how did you start the following, like, blah, blah, blah. I think people were starting to realize like, oh fuck, like I'm not going to be able to sell my brand or business if I'm not on social media. And this was in 2023. And so I was just like, it kind of was smacking me in the face like over and over again. Like people want my help. People need my help. But quite frankly, like I had to have like an ego death a little bit. Like I didn't want to like be the person managing people's socials or helping them with their strategy. It was almost like, I felt like my dream was like slipping away from me in this like really weird way. Cause I was like, no, like I want it to just be about me and like the podcast. And like, that's what I want my full income to be. Like, I shouldn't have to do this, which was like very immature and sounds dramatic when I say it like this, but it really was this kind of like ego death I had to have. And ultimately like a relinquishing of control over the plan that I thought I was supposed to like have. And I had to like grieve it for a couple months. Again, it sounds so stupid looking back at it now. I mean, looking back at it now, it feels stupid because I like tripled my income and it's like crazy. I mean, it's insane. Like, I don't even know why.
With doing the consulting?
Yeah. The agency has like completely changed the game, and it's actually like made me feel like so much more motivated and creative as an influencer and podcaster too, because I'm like, it's not all about me all the time. Like I'm having to like strategize for other people, and then I go back to my own stuff. And I've noticed how like it's shown more of like who I am. And that was always the goal, to like show who I am. It's shown me more as like an entrepreneur and the way my mind works. And like, it's given me some dynamic identity, I think. And so ultimately it kind of like all worked out in the end, because more brand partners came in, more podcast opportunities came, and now we have the agency. But it kind of like took off from there. And now we do like founders and hospitality projects. And now I'm here.
And now you're in the studio that you also have. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the studio was just like a divine, like happy coincidence. Yeah. It became available and it was like dirt cheap, and I was like, now like I was moving, the podcast was growing, and I was like, we can't do virtual anymore for like what I want to do. And like, we're charging like clients for episodes now, we're like, there's just like a lot of, there was money things involved, and I was like, if I'm gonna be charging people for this, I want it to be like of the highest quality. And then the studio became available, right. And it was just like the universe, God being like, here you go, like, right. You know,
it was meant to be. Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like you and your podcast are so aligned. Like, it's so you. It's so cool. I'm so glad that
Thank you.
I remember when you started this, and I agree, back to what you were saying, like, I so agree with you with content creation. It is really hard. Like, oh, here's my outfit. And like, also I'm mentally unwell. Like, you can't, like, how do you, I still struggle with that sometimes as well, because it's like so hard to like, I don't know. I feel like the space can be very curated, but finding your space, like with what you did with your podcast, I think that's such a great medium for you
to have
and like talk about your story. And it's like literally soaring. I mean,
I tell people all the time, like people will ask me like, how do you make fashion and mental health work? Like all the time. And I think it's a funny question, because I think a lot, and this is why I think a lot of people are stuck, like when they're growing on socials or whatever, is like they come at it from like too much of a strategic standpoint. And there's obviously like strategy involved. Like, you know, this, like you have to strategize a bit to like grow other people's accounts, grow your own accounts. But I think like the reason it works is because it's who I am. Like my personality and passion is self-help and growth and healing and therapy stuff and listening to people's stories and like talking very existentially about life and like the things we go through. And then the other half of my personality is fashion. And so like it works because it's who I am. And and I think if people can like channel that, like showing up as like exactly who you are, like what kind of value do you offer the people in your life even? And then like putting it towards socials, I think anything can work, even if it doesn't seem like they go together.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. It's weird, but it works.
Yeah, it really works. That's so awesome.
Thanks.
Did you always know you were going to be an entrepreneur? Was that something that was like in the back of your head, like in college?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even joking. Like, I was so fucking depressed. Like, I don't even think I I've always been so ambitious. And I think like that was like a huge part of like why I knew, like, I was like, it has to be more than this. Like, I cannot be like, this is not my destiny. Like, I have so many big dreams. There's like, I'm such a hustler. Like, there's no way that I'm supposed to be stuck like the way I am. So I think there was like always that. And then I also think I always viewed being an influencer as being an entrepreneur. And I think like maybe there's a lot of people in the space that don't treat it like a business. And so maybe that's why some people would see it as like, oh no, it's not really you being an entrepreneur. But I think like for me, like I woke up, I pitched like all of these different brands. I negotiated on my behalf. I'm creating content. Like, I always viewed myself as being an entrepreneur, even when I was an influencer. So yeah and no, like I do think that I always thought I was going to like work for myself. Did I know that I was going to like start an agency? Like, no, I definitely didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. But I think you kind of have to be open to like where the pieces are falling. And I think that's what I was talking about, like the ego death I had, where I had to be like, why am I saying no to this opportunity that keeps smacking me in front of like the face, you know?
Yeah, right. What? Which part like takes more time? That like you have so many different things, like with the agency, the content creation, like the podcast. I'm so curious. Like, I'm wondering how you're managing it all. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, oh, like I think honestly, like, it's just, I think like there's definitely like no balance right now. Like, just being like real, really realistic. Like, I think sometimes a lot of people will like go on. No, yeah, like, I think people will go on a podcast and they'll be like, balance is so important, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but, like, it's kind of not possible sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I understand that I'm in a phase of my life right now that's, like, not really sustainable in the sense of, like, I don't have, like, a boyfriend or husband or child. Like, I can put, like, everything I got into, like, the business. And like, if I need to stay up working till midnight, 1 a.m., like I can do that because like, there's nothing like, and not in a depressing way, but it's like, that is the phase of my life right now. And so I think like, that's kind of how it works. I have an assistant now. I have another assistant too. So like, it's really nice to like finally start to delegate some stuff, but that's even been a journey in itself. Like figuring out, oh my God, like I created all these systems that need my hand and everything. Like what the fuck did I do? So like trying to figure that out. But I would say like, it's all kind of equal. It's just about like the podcast is now filmed ahead of time. So like I'll go to New York, LA, and then here in San Diego, and like I will do back to back to backs. And then we're like kind of good for a period of time. And then if people want to like pay for their interview, I like prioritize it coming in, like, and we do like executing it on some level immediately. But like, it's always kind of ahead. And then the agency, we're always a month ahead with all of our clients, but that's like a weekly thing, you know, like checking in with like the socials, making sure my assistant's on that. And then we do like shoot days or whatever. And then my partnerships, I film like a huge film day once a month where I shoot like 12 styling videos. So we're good for like TikTok, Instagram, and then like partnerships. And it kind of all just works together.
Right. That is honestly really impressive.
Thank you. Good for you. I appreciate it. I think like people are like, you're so crazy. Like, you know, like you work so much or like it's so amazing that you're able to do all these things. And I appreciate the compliment. I do think like you have to have that personality for sure.
Totally.
But I also think that people are a lot more capable of things than they think they are. And I think that if you're passionate about something, it like helps to be passionate about these things. Like I don't mind staying up late working on this podcast till like after midnight because it's like my heart. Same with like my business. Like I could never work for someone else that long. You know, like it's not when you're passionate about what you're doing, it's easy to like overwork yourself a little bit, but you get in the flow. And
yeah,
I don't know. So that's kind of, I'm like trying to figure out like how to articulate how it all works together. It's just, it's definitely not pretty. It's just, I mean, you chaotic. Have
your systems. I feel like, yeah, that's definitely the BTS of this industry. I feel like it's very easy to burn out.
Oh yeah.
Like, talk to me about how you prevent that. Like, do you have any tips and like, how do you manage your mental health with managing all of these businesses?
It's really hard. I mean, like, I would say that's a huge weakness of mine is that like, I feel like I've for so long attached my worth into productivity and like, just succeeding and like pushing. And I've really had to work on like, you have to force yourself to like take a break and sit in the uncomfortable of like, I'm not moving. I'm not doing anything. And I've had to like be brutal with myself because there's been times even this last year where I like push it. And then I am like, oh, I can feel it. Like I can feel I'm burning out, but I'm like, no, I have to keep going. And then I end up having like a huge mental like health spiral because when you're that tired, you can't like use the mental tools to like fight off, I guess, like the demons for lack of a better word. Like you don't have like the bandwidth to do it as much. So then I see like my mental health struggle and then I'm like late on everything. And like, so it starts falling apart. So I have to like, when I feel it now, I have to kind of be like, okay, like let's look at the calendar. Like in the next 2 weeks, like what day are you going to take off? What 2 days are you going to take off? Like you need to force yourself into that space. But I like go to therapy every week. Like I have my therapist, Natasha, every Tuesday.
Love that.
And I like, force myself to go and like show up for that. And then, yeah, like I said, like if I feel burnout, like I have to stop. I work out like almost every day and I need that. And then I like love breath work and like doing that. like quarterly too. And I think that helps a lot as well. It's not like, it's definitely something I'm like not great at. I think it's same. Really hard to like stop.
Yeah.
Like it really is. It's really hard to stop for me. And so I think it's something I'm working on for sure.
Yeah. I feel that, girl. I feel like sometimes you just need a rot day. Like for me, I just need to rot some days. And just like literally clear my schedule. It's what I've been doing in the past 2 days. So
honestly, good for you. And like, it's good that you can even like, you know yourself and feel good enough to do that too. And that's something I'm really working on. Like you, it's almost like I get anxiety, like not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so
exactly.
It's like the idea of like rotting, it sounds so lovely, but then I like will try it and I get so antsy and like anxious and I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like I shouldn't be stopping. There's so much to do. And it's about like rewiring and like, no, like you can't do any of the things you need to do if you do not take a break. Like you're worthy of a breath. You're worthy of relaxation. Like I really have to like affirm over myself like intensely in those moments. And I think doing that for the last like 6 months has really, really helped, honestly.
Yeah. Therapy has taught me that you rest is productive for your mental health. And so I guess I should also rephrase rot day. My rot day is literally just admin days.
Yeah,
like,
which is that, not
to me,
rotting.
That's rot. Yeah. To me, if I can sit on my couch and do all my admin, like back end work on the couch, like to me, that's rotting.
We're literally the same.
Yeah, I'm like, that's actually not really rot day. My screen time is 9.5 hours.
I'll tell my friends, like, I'm taking the day off. And then, like, I'll always end up, like, doing things.
Yeah, you know, like, we're both working on that, queen.
I know. So funny.
Okay, going back to your podcast, it's called How I See It. And your Instagram is How Han Sees It. How did you come up with that?
I think, like, I feel like you probably expected this from me, like, coming on the pod that I was going to, like, come in all, like, dark and existential. I think, like, so, like, I told you, like, I went through, like, a huge, like, healing journey. And I think, like, a lot of my childhood, I did not feel seen. I was not valid. My emotions were not validated. There was just, like, a lot of hurt there. And so How Han Sees It was subconscious, I think. Like, I don't think I realized in the moment that I was like, it's just how I see it. Like, unapologetic, like, fashion and lifestyle. Like, I just want to share things that I believe that are unfiltered, that make me feel good, that are real. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't, like, you don't have to agree or see it the way I see it. It's just how Han sees it. And I feel like over, like, the years I've realized, like, oh my God, it's really interesting. Like, I named something, like, How I See It. Like, I just want to be validated and, like, seen and heard. And so the podcast, I'm, like, very much, like, a marketing brain in this way. Like, I want everything to be, like, aligned and on brand. So I knew I wanted it to somehow, like, sound like my username. And so How I See It, I thought was great because it embodied this energy of, like, I'm just sharing unapologetic realness. Like, I'm just, like, sharing it how I've seen it, what I've been through, how I've, like, navigated the ups and downs of life. And I'm bringing people on to share how they see it, too. Mm-hmm. So at the end of every episode, like, guests come on, they share their journey, the ups and downs of the human experience. They talk about their business, their brand, whatever they're doing. And then at the end, they have to answer the question, like, looking back at your journey, like, how do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's this moment that we can all kind of share unapologetically, like, without judgment, like, how we see it, like, how we see life, how we see the journey of maneuvering mental health, wellness, business, content creation, like, whatever it is. And it's like an invitation for people to, like, also be unapologetically who they are, which is ultimately the mission of my socials and the podcast's socials. I want people to feel inspired and confident in pursuing, like, healing, entrepreneurship, whatever they're doing, unapologetically. And it kind of, like, all wrapped together in that way.
I love that. I feel like it's kind of like a hard concept for a lot of people to grasp. Like, I feel like your brand and your podcast is very, like, this is me. This is how I see life and how I see myself. And if you don't like it, like, I don't care. And I feel like that's in this industry, especially, I feel like that's, like, a very hard thing. I feel like a lot of people kind of gravitate towards what's doing super well. Like, okay, I'm going to do this because I know this is trending and well. And, like, I feel like you're very to your core, your own brand, and, like,
Thank you.
Don't stray from that. And I feel like it's honestly intimidating to a lot of people, and, like, just seeing things so, like, authentically to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like the industry. That. Yeah, I mean, we need more of that in the industry, honestly. I feel like I do have to seek it out in podcasts and like specific people. It's kind of crazy that it's not as digestible, I think.
Yeah.
You're just scrolling. I
think a lot of people will ask me, like, how are you so confident in being like unapologetic? Mm-hmm. Like unapologetically yourself, like online, in real life, whatever it is, the context is. And I think it's because like I've seen the consequences of not, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I think like the root of like depression and anxiety, like, and mental health issues is like a violation of conscience. Like it's a violation of our authenticity. And so I think like going to therapy when I did, and like having to sit and talk about like whether it was my fault or not, the moments that I was violating who I was, and like not even realizing that like the things I was subjected to, or the things I was doing, or the things I was saying, and the way I was acting was not honoring like who I was authentically and what my core was. And I think when we do that, we make ourselves sick, like extremely sick. And so the moment I started like honoring that person and like engaging with inner child work and like actually talking about my feelings and like allowing myself to have them, even I started noticing like, oh my God, like, I mean, I don't want to kill myself today. Like, like I'm not depressed. I'm not anxious. Like I actually am able to like flex like some tools that are like helping me. And it was this correlation in my head where it was like, oh my God, like aligning with your authentic self actually makes you feel good. Like it's the opposite of sickness and mental health. So I think like it's obviously scary to like say how you feel, especially with a platform and a microphone in front of your face. Right. Like there's judgment, but at least if someone judges me, I know that I was 100% who I was. Because the worst is when you're judged or you get hate for something that you weren't even 100% feeling like yourself. Like that is the worst feeling. So I think it's about showing up and like, how do I want to say it? Like, I think it's about like showing up and like really giving to that mission. And I think that's what allows you to do so. Like, remembering that, yeah, you can engage in trends or say things that you think you're supposed to say, or like shoot the way you think you're supposed to shoot, or, you know, do the negotiation the way you think you're supposed to do it. But at the end of the day, like the cost is like your authenticity.
Right.
And that comes with consequences.
Those were some really good gems that you just said. I'm like, dang. You can tell that you're on top of your therapy, because I feel like these are the things that my therapist always tells me, but then sometimes they like slip through the cracks and I'm constantly working on it.
It's easy to talk. It's easy to talk. It's hard to do. But yeah, I mean, I'm fresh off. Like, what's today? Thursday? 2 days ago I had therapy. So maybe I'm just fresh right now.
It's fresh in your head. No, I totally agree. I feel like that's like, ultimately, hopefully, everything that we're working towards as like content creators is like being authentic to ourselves. But it can be really hard to just like look within and share and say what you want to say, especially like you said, having a platform and having like people having so much access to you and being able to comment and say whatever they want about what you're doing. Like,
totally.
This used to not be a thing. And I feel like that also affects our mental health, like having access to so many people and them having so much access to you. Like, this wasn't ever a thing. We weren't ever supposed to know everyone's opinions on like everything.
Totally. So I agree with you 100%. I also think too, like there's a misconception that like to show up authentically, you have to share everything. Like I think
that's what I used to think.
Yeah. Like when we started out, it was more normal to like, okay, like I just have to vlog the entire, all my stories like all day and like share all of these different things. And I've realized like just over time burning out to your point. And then also like we've been doing this for a very long time. I think like it gets to a point where it's like, I cannot fucking post on my story.
Literally.
Like it's not happening right now. So I think it's about like finding this balance of like, when I do show up, it needs to be intentional and it needs to be authentic. And it doesn't mean you need to share everything. So like, even if you look at like TikTok and Instagram, like the best performing people, like the people who are growing super quick right now, like they are showing up exactly who they are. They're not like strategizing like how they should say things. They're just showing up with like what they have and what they feel passionate about, but they're not sharing everything. And I think like that's the misconception, is that like to do well, you have to share everything. And it's like, no, like, cause even with like my founder clients, they'll be like, I don't want to like, I run a business. Like I can't talk about like fights with my husband. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't have to do that. You just need to show up authentically in the ways that you've decided you're going to. Mm-hmm. So like if you're a fashion creator, like that's through fashion. Like you're going to be authentic and share like how you feel about the things you like, or maybe like talk about body confidence or like how you feel putting on an outfit. But if you're having problems with your boyfriend, like you don't need to share about that to like grow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I saw someone talking about this a few days ago and it really stuck with me. She was talking about your contribution score. Have you seen this video?
No, but tell me more.
Okay, it's like the smartest people slash like the people that you take the most seriously. It's not like who says the most. It's like it's who contributes the most value. And so whenever you're in a situation where you're filming yourself or you're in a conversation, you don't have a lot to say, just thinking about your contribution score, like, okay, is this like a valuable thing? Like, would this help someone if I shared it? Like you don't, again, like what you were just saying, you don't have to share everything. And that's something I recently learned too. Cause yeah, stories take so much from me. Like I really always have contribution score like in the back of my head. Like, okay, what's actually valuable that I can share or say right now in honestly anything.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. I think something in the podcast space that I see a lot is that like hosts feel they need to like take up the most space in the interview, or like I can't be forgotten because I'm like the host. But I think the best interviews are when people like illuminate their guest and only speak to your point when they have something to add of value, because it all comes back around. And I think like ego can get in the way sometimes with content creation. Like people just like they want to do what everybody else is doing, to your point, or they feel left out. They're like, oh, if they're doing that trend, then I have to do that trend. Or like, I'm hosting a podcast. Like, this is my podcast. I should be talking. Like, I haven't said anything. What should I say? It's like, if you don't have anything valuable to say, like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I just think like there are interviews that I have where like, I don't speak a ton. Like, I'll comment and like affirm when I feel like I have something to add, but it's like, I'm not going to talk for no reason. I'm not going to breathe for no reason. And I think to your point, like you lose credibility and like you lose that trust and that like belief in authenticity when you're just speaking to speak.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I've let go of that. And also that's funny you say that, because as a listener too, like you never actually think about, is the host talk, you know, it's like, it's funny that we worry about these things because like the listener and the consumer, whoever's in on the other side, like they're not actually thinking about that. And that's like truly just your ego. Like,
no, we think so much about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's like normal, but like no one is like,
no one cares
about you. No one cares about you. Unfortunately, I've said this before, like that whole trend, like be the main character thing. Like, I always thought that was so funny that that even like happened and that it still stuck around. People are being like, yes, girl, like be the main character. I'm like, you are the only character. Yeah. You're the only character. Honestly, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you're the only person that matters to you. Like, I don't know. It's just, anyway.
That's no, I agree. And we're all mirrors and of each other and we're all one. Okay. So
I love where the Pisces got together today.
The Pisces, we're both Pisces, you guys, if you couldn't tell. Existential queens.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Also going back to kind of what we were talking about when you said just showing up as you on socials and that's what you tell your clients and that's what you do. I'm curious, like, do you ever just scroll for inspiration, or are you just like truly posting like whatever you're feeling in the moment?
No, I don't scroll very
often.
You
don't scroll? Okay.
No, I feel like I'll scroll for like research purposes for like specifically for clients too. Like one of my clients is like an ADHD coach. Like I have to scroll through like ADHD TikTok. Yeah, she's great. I'll connect you. Okay. No, but I have to scroll through like ADHD TikTok to like research like what's doing well and whatever.
Right. Okay.
So I'll have like times on my calendar. I'm like a Google Calendar freak. So like I'll have like times on my calendar that I like do that. And then I mean, like I'll scroll on TikTok a little bit just to see like the sounds that are like trend. Like, cause you can scroll for like 10 minutes and like the same ones will pop up. So I'll like save them. But no, I don't scroll for fun like at all really anymore.
That's a skill, honestly.
I noticed it was making me like not feel good, to be honest.
Right.
Not like in like a super deep way in the sense of like, oh, like everyone's lives, like not like that. And I know that's like real for a lot of people. It actually just like physically wasn't making me feel good. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I would scroll for like an hour And then I would just, like, feel disgusting after, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt really lazy and, like, my brain kind of, like, it was too, it's too much to have, like, that much. And again, like, we have, so we have my Instagram and TikTok. The podcast has its Instagram and TikTok. And then we have 15 clients. So it's, like, I'm looking 15. At social. Yeah, you don't even want to see my fucking screen time. I showed someone the other day. The other, it's not like this all the time, but I would say it doesn't veer off very far from this number. Last week, it was at 19 hours of screen time. That's like only 5 hours of sleep. So it was like sleep.
Oh, in 19 one hours. Day?
Yes.
What?
It's like very scary. Like,
okay, so, I like, thought I was feeling bad about myself and it was 9.5. I'm like,
don't feel bad.
19. No, it was
the average of that week was 19. And it was chaotic that week, but I don't think it veers very much because I'm literally having to like check in all of these accounts. I'm constantly on my phone or computer. So the last thing I want to do at the end of the day is scroll or like in my free time. Like, I feel like I share a lot of my life, like what I'm doing, where I'm going, but I don't really share a lot of who I'm with. And I think that it's not because I'm like, I want to keep private like who I'm dating and like who I'm hanging out with that's like not creators. It's actually just because like I cannot stand to be on my phone like when I'm out having fun.
Same.
I'll like look at people at dinner and I'm not even trying to be a hater, but like I'll be at dinner and I see these girls like doing a full-blown shoot at the table and I'm like, I'm not gonna lie to you, like my like in my head I'm not like go queen, like I'm not, I think my reaction is like god, like stop taking pictures, like just enjoy your dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I've just gotten to that place where it's like I want to shoot my look before we go into dinner. I'm gonna do it in 10 minutes. I'll maybe get one at the table and then I'm like present for the next 4 hours because I just can't stand to be on my phone. So long-winded answer to your question, no, I don't really scroll a lot. I feel like I just do what I want to do.
Yeah, like the content you create, it's very much like what's in your head, what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like I don't have any like posting space anymore. It's like I feel like I can't post more than once or twice a day, and I already do that. I'm like,
and
I can't.
That's great. Like once
like,
or
I
twice
can't
a
overwhelm
day,
people with me,
right?
I do wish that I could show up like a little bit more like this, if that makes sense. Like, I really want to start creating content where I like put the phone up and I'm just talking about something existential. Yeah. But it's so hard when you're so busy.
And like,
it really
that's
is.
What your podcast is for too. So
I know.
It's like, you know, always like share little tidbits and be like, yeah, I talk about this more in my podcast.
Yeah. I think it's hard though. Like and it. I think this goes back to like scrolling and like seeing what other people are doing and you're like, oh, I would be so good at that, like I wish to do that. And I think it's like you cannot possibly do everything,
right?
I mean, we can, I think a lot of times, especially like in the entrepreneur space, like people will be like, oh my god, I had that idea like 3 years ago, I could totally do that, blah blah blah. And I'm kind of like, well, it kind of means shit if you're not doing it. And so I think it's like choosing what like you actually want to do and feel passionately about, actually executing on it, but then realizing that you're not going to be able to do everything that you want to do and feel passionate about, because like that would make us not human. It's not sustainable.
Yeah. I feel like you got to choose a few things but before you get like really kind of burnt out, because 19 hours screen time is really
not
that's
cute.
A lot.
I would only share that here with you because I know the people who are listening are probably perpetually on their phone as well.
Does Natasha know that?
I know. Well, it's like, I don't even know. Like, I was shocked when I saw it, but I was like, that kind of makes sense. Like, I'm just on my phone from like the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed.
Right.
Like, it's really sad. Instagram's not at 19 hours.
No, I feel it. Like, I really had to work hard to get my screen time to 8 to 9 hours. Like, I finally got treated for my ADHD because my psychiatrist was like floored by my screen time, which is not 19 hours.
I know. Well, I mean, I most likely have ADHD for sure.
But like, honestly, I don't know, because you manage so many things so well. So
I think I live in the chaos and I love it. And I think half of me feels like the not being able to take a break and the anxiety that comes with just sitting is kind of because of that, like not being able to like just like sit in the present. and I have to like be going. I think part of it may be a slight little ADHD thing, but I think the other part of it is like self-worth stuff too. And so it's like managing like how I can do all of that. But yeah, the screen time thing is very vulnerable. Yeah. It's like probably the most vulnerable thing I've shared this week.
That's okay, queen. We love the vulnerability. Like sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah. Well, and this goes back to the balance thing too. Like, yeah. How do you balance it all? And like, balance is key. It's like, yeah, there are parts of my life that are not balanced and they probably never will be. And I don't think that's wrong. Like, I think it's what makes us human.
Yeah, I feel like balance is what relative? So I forgot what the relative to you. Yeah. And well, I'm just kind really of sick and tired anything. Of
people being like, you must be balanced and all of these things. Yeah. The wellness and mental health space has turned into like a stressful to-do list. Mm. Like it was never supposed to be like that. And I think we've just, that's society though. Like we pendulum swing 0 to 100. Like there's never like an in-between. That's a different conversation.
Yeah. But no, I totally agree. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, besides balance, what are like, one or two unexpected challenges you have faced with all your businesses or kind of like your biggest lesson even?
Besides the ego, like the ego one was huge, like relinquishing control over like what I thought my vision for my life was supposed to be. I struggle to not control and let go and surrender in all aspects of my life, in my relationships, in business, with like my own goals. And I think the moment I was able to like let go of like what I thought was like supposed to be my path was the moment that I grew and like got more successful financially, mentally, emotionally, like all of it. So I would say like I'm very good now at like my ego is dead. And about business, about relationship, about everything. And so I think after that, I am so okay now with like things changing and pivoting. Mm-hmm. And I don't view anything as a failure anymore. It's just kind of like on to the next type of mentality. So that was probably like one of the biggest ones. I think like this is more logistical. It's like learning how to like communicate goals and the way I see things, the way I create like my vision for things, like being able to actually articulate it to other people is hard. It's really, really hard. And so like having an assistant the last year, it was like one of the most difficult challenges for me to like be able to relinquish and trust and then like give good enough instruction and timing. I was the person that like did everything all at the same time. I'm still like that. Like my brain works like that where I can do like 10 things at one time and that I live there. I'm successful there. That is not the case for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And like, I learned like, oh, this person like is not doing well for me right now. Like maybe they're not the right assistant. And I think this whole process was realizing like, no, like you have to learn how to like get organized, organize your thoughts, organize your creativity, give it to them in a like timely manner that makes sense to like set them up for success. And so now I've had her for a year. She's great. Like there are things that don't work sometimes and like we mess up, but I think a lot of the problems that I was saying she was having were actually because I wasn't doing a good job of like organizing things. So I think that was like one of the biggest struggles over the last like honestly year was like feeling like I was like put together in those ways,
right?
Like, and I'm like trying to, there's so many things, like it's all hard. Like I'm struggling all the time with different things, like mental health wise. I'm like the taking breaks, the realizing that like, I actually don't want to be alone forever. And like,
that's a good that one.
I like want to like, actually like date and have someone. I think that was like the hurt child in me was like, no, I'm gonna have my business and I'm gonna be fine and that's it and I'm just gonna like have fun forever and never settle down. And I think there was like a moment like 8 months ago ish like almost a year ago where I was like sitting on the couch and I was like working and it was like midnight and I realized that I was just like working because like there was nothing else to do, like I didn't have anyone and it was this like a moment where I was like, oh, like it can't just be about work, like life is more than just work. And I think that putting so much pressure on like one thing to bring you fulfillment and happiness is scary. So absolutely. I think it was this realization of like, if my business were to fall apart, I'd have nothing. Mm-hmm. And like, that's scary. I could rebuild, but like, I should have more in my life that like makes me happy and brings me value, you know? So I think that was like a hard truth to face this year too, is like, yeah, oh,
that's like a big one. Have you kind of like stepped out of that, like opened your heart a little bit, like seeing anyone?
I think it's hard. I think this was like, I mean, amongst other things, I think this is like why I went back into therapy too, because mm-hmm. I was like, I need to like work with someone on like some of this stuff, just because like I've been in like I'm like getting so real right now. Like I've been in a situationship uh-huh. for a while. I like do like want to like open myself up to other people, but simultaneously like the idea of that makes me want to die. So it's like trying to like maneuver, how can I, it's something I preach on the podcast all the time about mental health, but it's like mm-hmm. how can I like live what I preach and like make myself uncomfortable for the sake of like real comfortability and like yeah. what I desire. So no, I haven't been dating a ton. I did go on a couple dates like in the last 6 months, which was like big steps for me, but nothing like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like with what you're saying, I totally relate to it in the sense of like, it's hard when you're running your own businesses and then you have someone there just like, it feels like they're waiting for you to stop working and like hang out with them. And that was something that I struggled with so much. Like a few years ago, I want to say, but I've really worked at it. And it's honestly, if it gives you any comfort, it really balances out work. Like it actually, yeah. that gives me a work-life balance. Like with my husband, I feel like when I'm with him, and I really like how I don't incorporate him really into any aspects of my businesses or even in my content, because I feel like when I'm with him, like I'm shut off from work totally. And it's been a really good balance. And it was a really hard balance that I had to work on in therapy. Cause I'm like, I would snap so fast, be like, this is my business. And like, I have to go to work and like, I can't do this because like I have to work. So I definitely feel yeah. what you're saying, but I do feel like
yeah.
it can help with that work-life balance.
For sure. Well, for sure. And I do, it's mm-hmm. funny you say that. Cause like I feel like my ex and like my ex from a while ago, I like incorporated in like stories and mm-hmm. stuff. And I like, now that I've grown up a bit, my frontal lobe is developed. Like right. you don't think that I would incorporate a significant other really like into my content, mm-hmm. maybe like here and there, or if like I got a ring then maybe when it was like right. official, but like, I still feel like this is like not that, you're right. Like that is like personal life
yes.
versus like business. I'm and really like sure. yes, our business is about incorporating personal life, but there are some things that I, back to our conversation about like sharing, like you can show up authentically, not share everything, and when you share everything online, there's nothing left for your real life.
Yes.
And then the existential like crisis of like what is real and what is not, like what is for me, what is not, is like really scary. Like mm-hmm. just if anyone's listening, I feel most of the audience is content creators yes. and people who are interested. It's like, don't feel pressure because you see other people posting things of them and their significant other on vacation and these cute videos and blah, blah, blah. If it doesn't feel authentic to you, like don't feel pressure to do that just to like do what everybody else is doing.
Right.
It's not necessary. It and quite really frankly, isn't. Those couples are all, I mean, I don't want to make a generalization,
but I know what you're saying.
They're all fucked up. There's no way.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying. And this everything you're saying, like this is literally a lot of the times what my therapy sessions sound like, because yes, like what you were saying, like if you share everything, there is nothing left for yourself. And that is such an important tip for like a work-life balance as well, kind of like going back to that, because
and a mental health balance
yes,
too.
Yes, I feel like it's so, I work really hard to keep things that are things that I just don't share at all. Like I do a lot of spiritual stuff offline and I do not even share it like that. Maybe I will at some point or sometimes, but like I feel like it's really important to me to have like things I don't share
yeah.
with everyone.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will like hear that. And like the strategist in me is like, oh my God, you should share that.
But then
like the human in me is like, we were back to our existential point. Like we weren't meant to share this much.
No.
Like we weren't meant to share this much with people. And going back to dating, honestly, I think that has made my dating life really hard. Mm-hmm. Being a creator has made my dating life very hard because no mystery. Like, everyone knows what I'm doing 24/7. It's actually made friendships harder too, because I feel like I'm like kind of needy emotionally sometimes, where like I want to feel cared for. I want to feel seen. Like, that's my childhood wound, you know? Right. And I just feel like people don't check in with you as much. They don't like miss you as much. They don't invite you to things as much. And it's not malicious, mm-hmm. but it's like they see your story all day and they're like, she's busy, she's having fun, she's good. And like, even when I go on trips, I'll get back and like, I feel like no one asks me like what I did.
Yeah.
Or like what was fun, because they've just seen it all. And it's so, it's really hard. There are some cons to the job, mm-hmm. for sure. I would never trade it for anything. I love it. But I do think like, it is hard sometimes, like maneuvering quote unquote real life and relationships, and feeling like, I don't know, that there's something left for the people close to you.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do a really good job of that. But from the outside, it doesn't seem like I'm holding anything back.
Mm-hmm.
So like the people in my life don't know to be like, oh, like how was New York? And I would have had a list of like 10 other things I never posted that I would have wanted to share.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting, like how content and being a creator and like how it integrates into your real life too. And I think it takes a lot of like communication and discipline and boundaries with people. Like, I've literally had to communicate with my friends. I feel like you guys don't ask me how I'm doing, or don't ask like what I've done, or like how trips are, or like highs of the week.
Yeah.
Because you like think you've seen it all.
It's so funny you say that, because I literally just had a conversation with three other creators like this past week about this, how your friends stop asking you how you're doing, and they're kind of less, I don't know, exactly just what you were saying.
Enamored. Like, they're less enamored by you.
They like, you stop getting the questions and you're asking all the questions. And like, you just can't take it personal, because I feel like, yeah, people just think you're busy. And that's just like a part of the job that honestly no one really talks about. So
yeah. Well, like dating particularly, like too, like men like love to chase. They want mystery. They want to like wonder what you're doing. That does not exist for me. Like,
right.
I don't connect any of my social platforms to like dating apps at all. Specifically, I mean, I don't want male followers, but also because like, I want to keep it under wraps for so long.
Yeah.
Because not only am I sharing everything that I'm doing all the time, I mean, not everything, but pretty much I'm sharing like what I'm doing every single day. On top of that, I'm posting pictures of myself. So like, you don't forget what I look like.
Yeah.
You're not like, my face loses value to you. You're just like, I see so much of this. And then thirdly, I have a podcast where I trauma dump about everything emotionally that I'm going through, that I'm working on. I'm having like really deep conversations that you wouldn't have with a significant other until you're at like month 5, 6,
right,
7. And so it's just like, it does get complicated. But
you're authentically you, and whoever you end up with is going to be the most secure man ever.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You have it all out there.
And I'm so picky. It's like, I mean, and I don't think it's being picky. I think it's like a lot of people, this is now getting into like a dating thing, but it's like, if you're going to pick a partner, they better be like a value to your life. Like,
right.
Nothing, it's not about love. It's like, that's great. It's not that hard to fall in love with someone, but it's very hard to find someone that's an asset to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's kind of like the space I'm at too, where it's like, I will be alone forever if it means that like there is not someone out there that I like connect with that also doesn't offer more into my life than I have now, you know?
Yeah, you're not going to settle because you know what you deserve.
No.
Also, this has been like floating in my brain. Have you ever thought about your handle and how, because you were saying like as a child you just wanted to be seen, and like, have you ever thought about how your handle is like how Han sees it, and like you are seeing yourself?
Yes, like, that's what I was saying. Like, yeah, subconsciously. Okay. I think it was like, I didn't choose it because of it.
Okay,
but I think subconsciously, like, it was that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so crazy how the brain works like that.
Yeah, and like, we just want to be seen. Ugh, love that. Love that.
Yeah. No, totally. I'm glad you caught it too, because I think it's so interesting, like, the things that we do and say, and like, what we stand for, and how it's connected to like all of the like wounds we have, and like the points of contention, and it's just like funny how it works like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, let's like wrap this up. I feel like
we could go forever.
We really could. I'm like, I have like so many questions I could ask you about like your business strategy, like everything, but like just gonna let it flow, you know?
Yeah, I can come back.
Yeah, like, if absolutely. You guys need,
if Alyssa gets sick again, I will guest come in.
Yes, I would love that. But for any creators out there who maybe want to start a podcast or an agency or just like even start content creation in general, like, do you have a piece of advice that has really helped you or something you've learned along the way?
Yeah, I think that kind of like what we were speaking to earlier, like, I think you just have to create like what you feel passionate about. I know it sounds cliche, but like you really have to do a good job of like filtering out the noise of like scrolling and seeing like other girls posting this style of fashion content. And like, this is what is trending right now, so I want to do this. And like, you have to be able to stand your own and like, because the only way you're going to get followers, which is essentially what it's about, kind of like you want to build a community so that you can turn this into your job. Like if you want that, like you have to offer something that someone else isn't doing. Mm-hmm. So there's tons of us where it's like, I'm not doing anything that special, but I think like I do what I'm passionate about and I do it without any influence from anybody else. Therefore, I think it does well. So I think it's about figuring out like, what do I talk about like with my friends when we're on FaceTime, when we're talking on the phone? What do I like gravitate towards conversation wise when I'm like hanging out with people that like are having deep conversations with me? Like, what do I offer? What do the people in my life think that I offer them in our relationships too? Like, I feel like it's important to ask the people in your life, like, what do you love about me? Like, what do you love? Like, what do you think I like bring to the table in this friendship, relationship, whatever it is, business relationship even? And like, not be scared to like ask that question if you're like confused about what you should be doing, because I would argue for the most part, it will like be pretty the same from everyone.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of figure out like what you're good at. And then in regard to starting an agency, I think like listen to like what people want from you. Like if you're getting a question all the time about something, like if you're trying to be a content creator, but you've noticed that like everyone in your life is asking you like, how do you take such good photos? Like you're so good at editing and like everyone is doing that. Like don't ignore the signs. Like maybe you're supposed to pivot and do some of that.
Yeah.
So I think like, we're so self-centered. It's the human. Like, I don't mean that as in an insulting way, but like try to put the focus on like other people. Like what are people asking from you? Because I think the biggest like networking tip, business tip is providing value. Like what are you offering people? It's the same way I pitch. Like I don't have management still. And like, I think it's because I'm very good at like reaching out to brands and showing them what they want. Same with like securing clients, like what value can I offer you? Not like what I've done, you know, like what can I actually do to make your life easier, better, you know, whatever it is. And it's the same way I go about content. Like what can I do to make people's like life experience better, their fashion, like content, like stuff better. Like, I think we're, like I said, like we're very internal and you need to kind of look like externally to like what people want from you. And I think that's how you'll do well, no matter what you're doing.
No, that's really good advice. And honestly, I'm going to stop scrolling and try to listen to that, because I'm definitely a productive scroller in quotations.
I mean, the screen time on mine is scary. So I did no judgment for you scrolling. But I think like setting timers helps too.
Yeah.
Like set a timer for 30 minutes and then it goes off. You're like, I'm not scrolling anymore. Like I'm done. You know?
Yeah,
because I think we get in like loops.
Right. And I feel like we could all just, take some time off from that. But also I think we need to all look more inward in what we're creating instead of like seeing what's trending, because I do feel like we're all kind of blending together at a certain point. So
totally. I agree with you there. I mean, it would be like if like I feel like right now, like a huge part of socials is like this like cottage core, like trad wife, like type aesthetic. And I think like if it's you, hooray. But it would be like if I decided to start doing like content in the flowers, like that literally does not make sense to me. But there are so many people who have my style who have like completely they just change based on like what's trending. And I feel like you can see through that as a consumer and a follower. And so like you have to be able to hold steadfast in the fact that like, this is who I am. This is what I do. And like, it's not trending right now. Therefore I'm not going to grow a ton right now. That's okay.
Yeah.
Like it comes back around. Like, you know what I mean? Like I don't do well in the summer. content never does well during the summer. I understand this. I'm not like down about it. I'm not thinking to myself like, okay, I need to go to the beach and do like a bikini shoot and like put on dresses and go shoot. Like, no, like it's not me. It's not going to be received well. I just need to know and financially prepare that like in the summer, I'm probably not going to get a ton of collaborations and I'm going to have to make up for it in fall, winter, spring, because like, that's not my vibe. That's not what I do, you know? And you have to be okay with that.
Yeah. And I feel like you, most importantly as well, build so much more trust with your audience that way, because people know like you are being so, so you.
Yeah.
When you don't stray from that. Yeah.
Like, so those are my tips. Be unapologetic.
Those are great. Yeah. Be unapologetic. Your amazing tagline. Okay. Last thing, because I know you're a mantra girly. What's your number one mantra that you are resonating most with right now?
Oh my God. Like my affirmation right now. I feel like it changes every day based on like, so I want to like give you one, but I'm just like, it changes every day based on like what the negative thought is. So like, if I like the way that I've like healed, I feel like the most is that like I've learned to like filter the like dark voice in my head. So like, if I wake up and immediately look in the mirror and it's like, you look so fat, like I immediately stop the thought and I affirm over it oppositely. Like, even if I don't like really believe it, like I will affirm the opposite of whatever pops up. So I'll be like, you look healthy. You look great. You're working so hard. You are not fat, you know? Or like if I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, like or the end of the day, I have so much to do. I was working all day. This list is so long. I wasn't productive at all. Like, I'll stop the spiral and be like, you should be so proud of everything you're doing. You're so productive. You're doing the best you can. And like, you deserve grace and compassion. So like, whatever the toxic thought is, I try to immediately in real time, like affirm oppositely. And I think that's how I like moved out of a place of like depression, negativity, anxiety. Like, I started to believe that I had the capacity to like change what I believed, quote unquote. So I'm like, I don't know if I have like a specific one. I'm like, today I was like, I woke up and I was so tired. I just wanted to sleep. But then I was like, if I sleep, I'm like a lazy piece of shit. Like, I should be working. But then I was like, you know what? You're not lazy. You know, you're not lazy. You deserve rest and sleep. So I like slept in till like 9 this morning because I was like, I need it. And I don't have a meeting till 10.
As you should.
So yeah, it's just
okay. That. Love that. Well, I'll share with you my favorite mantra that you have said, and I've already shared this, I think, with you. Do you know what I'm gonna say?
Is it the table thing?
Yeah.
That was
before
story.
I even knew what mantras were, dude. Like, literally, we were at this crazy event. Okay, we were at this Revolve event, which honestly was so cool for us at the time. I want to say it was like 20.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20.
You guys deserve to be there for sure. I did not belong there.
Oh my God, no. We were all, and you know what? I'm sure everyone was thinking that there, but I didn't even know what mantras were, I feel like. But I felt like so nervous. Was it the Paris Hilton?
Yes. It was Paris Hilton on Melrose.
It was a Paris Hilton Revolve event. Okay, you guys, like, just imagine the types of people that are at this event. And so we run into Hannah, and I feel like we're all just, like, scared, but and just not feeling worthy. And I remember Hannah was like, yeah, I have to keep telling myself my mantra right now that I deserve a seat at the table. And for some reason, like, that was the first time I ever heard that, and that has stuck with me. So my favorite mantra.
I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like that is like, I feel like that is like the biggest piece of advice like I could give someone too. Is like, I feel like people say it to me all the time and it's so nice. They're like, you've done like what you're doing is so cool. Like, I wish I could do that. And it hurts me because I'm like, you can.
Yeah, you can.
The only thing that sets us apart, like someone who says that and someone like me, is the fact that like I've decided that I can. Like, that's
and
it.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. I think it's about like knowing and believing that you do deserve a seat at the table. And I think a lot of people think that's great, like maybe delusional or whatever. But like, I literally remember that day. I heard there was a Paris Hilton event happening at like the Revolve house that was on Melrose. And I emailed my contact and I was like, hi, I'm in LA. I heard you're having an event. Like, I would love to be a part of it. And they said, yeah, and they added me to the list.
Oh, I like, love that.
But it was because I believed that I like deserved to be there. You know?
And then they believed it too. Like,
yeah. I mean, or I think like my rejection, like my rejection resilience is very high. I just feel like the worst that can happen is they say they're full. The best mm-hmm. that can happen is I get to go to a Paris Hilton event and like network with like other right. creators that are way bigger than me. Like there's no lose. It's just so I think, yeah, like believing you have a seat at the table. I love that story. I didn't even remember that I said that to you until you brought that up like
I know. A year Isn't ago. That funny? I feel like it's really crazy thinking about the times that like you say something that you don't even think twice about, but it can really impact someone else.
Totally. Totally. So, I mean, I think that's the power of podcasting. So yeah. hopefully people listen to
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Like,
oh, I don't feel bad about my 10 hours of screen time anymore.
No, totally. Oh my gosh, this episode has been seriously so good. It's so easy to talk to you. You've shared so many amazing things on this podcast. Like, I can't wait to listen to this episode again. Yay. But for anyone who wants to follow everything you're doing, where can they find you?
Yeah, so Howhand sees it on all platforms for mm-hmm. my personal like brand and fashion content and such. The podcast is How I See It Podcast, How I See It Pod, everywhere. And we're on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, all that jazz. Mm. And then the agency is Unapologetic Strategies. I don't post a lot on the Instagram, but if you want to get in contact with us, that is what it's called. And it has its Instagram and you can contact me through there.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you. You
are so awesome. And I love this conversation.
You're so awesome.
Okay, well, see you in the next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.